somewhere during the night of the morning, I saw somebody standing in our audience. And while we're having service, they just passed out like that. And I could see real clear who it was. And people were real alarmed. And somebody standing close by grabbed them, one or two people. And we went out there. I walked over to where they were and spoke to them. And they revived immediately, just like a springboard that came back up. But I could tell that something had hit the real hard, whatever it was. Kind of want to cause a languishing. And then another thing that was outstanding, I mentioned to my wife. I had a number of night visions as of late about different ones. And I saw, as it was, an uncle of mine. I remember the man was real self-esteem, very proud, hard worker, always made a living, and even the very worst of times kept money in the bank, and was greatly admired by people because of his successful ability. But he was bad when it come to troubling homes, he come to men's wives and different things, and got into some real bad situations during his lifetime. But he was real courageous, and I remember one occasion where a man came with a gun and he took the gun away from him and like to kill him. And I remember another occasion where he shot a man and he almost killed him. But anyway, I tried my best to talk with him and preach to him, and he had great respect for me, and he feared God in my life. But he died, so far as I know, without Christ. The other night, I was walking around and I came near a porch. And on the porch, it appeared that it was, I don't know whether it was men and women or both. It appeared it could have been both, but I didn't recognize anybody. It just kind of fainted at that point. But I walked up and I was talking with them. And I heard somebody like they were in a back room in an offset somewhere. And they were crying out like they were calling to their family, come and get me out of the fire. Come and help me. I'm burning. I'm burning. It's on and on. It was real sad, you know. And as far as I know, which I certainly hope, you know, the man got converted or something happened, but he troubled a lot of homes. And there are people in the world like that. There are people in the world today like that that are causing a lot of problems. But as far as I know, he went to hell. And obviously the Lord was showing me that he was in hell, begging to get out of the fire. And you know, folks, we really need to serve the Lord. We don't need to play games. We don't need to make believe, because I'm telling you from my heart, we can make believe right on down to the deathbed. The women can do it. Men can do it. And they're doing it by the millions. And as religious as Cain was, and still they're going into the fire. I know it. I've seen it. I've already seen it. David said, I've seen him go to the church, to the place of the Holy One and the holy people. And then I've seen them leave, and I've seen them turned into hell after that. So it's for sure that they're going. With all these great ministers falling, it's like the Oral Roberts Enterprise falling. Selling out, I thought it was so outstanding that right at the very time that we went to negotiate as for the place down in Harlingen, Texas, which also relates back to the bus that we got, the Silver Eagle. And about the time that we come back through Texas as to Dallas, we were already in Texas, but to Dallas, through that part of Texas, then these things started happening in Oral, apparently, somewhere along there, made it known as to how much money he's selling Faith City for. They didn't say, but he is selling it. And I had told you the other night of what I understood of it, that I'd made statements that it would be over for him, and that I understood that when he finished the hospital, that he would finish it. And then the praying hands that was to be put out there, gigantic, that was it. And I saw him in a vision, and he was looking in this direction for little Bethlehem. And already, you remember, they had asked for our literature to pay for it or whatever, but to be sure that they got every issue of our Day Star. And they did. They got issues. They may have some ready now for the World Library. And we've got response from people that went to the World Library and got them. And with this and the vision, I saw him looking. He's just looking, waiting for me to come to where he was, and whether it had anything to do with the literature or whatever, I don't know. I just remember when we was sent to that area, I made mention the other night that as we left, I was made known that the thing had got out of control and out of hand, and the Bible tells us to do a certain thing. We've done that numbers of times in cities and with ministers, and always afterwards, it was as a rule the same. And before we caught the plane, which was within maybe the next morning or just right away, the papers published it that leprosy had hit the Oral Roberts University. And from that, things began to happen. Even though God went ahead and tolerated many things following, like completing the hospital and whatever, but still, it came to pass as to the tragedies, the sorrows, and whatever. I remember Evelyn making the statement that when Oral counseled with her and with one or two more, whatever they were, that was involved in his operation, that they tried to talk to him about building the hospital. And that he just arose in their midst and said, I did not ask you to come here to tell me what I can do and what I can't do. I'm going to build a hospital. And that's it. And turned around and walked off. Said, I only ask you to come here to discuss it with me as to what I'm going to do. And his wife Evelyn said, Oral Roberts is a man that you don't tell him what he can do and can't do. And he obviously was, because he'd done what he set out to do. But considering the fact that these things are folding up, think of the millions of people in the world today. I'm talking about millions of religious people that shout, that speak in tongues, that go to church, that fast, that pray, that are in all walks of life, in all people's ministries, wherever it's at across the world, and they are definitely going to hell. Going to hell. Speaking in tongues will not keep you out of hell. Shouting will not keep you out of hell. Going to church will not keep you out of hell, and giving in the offering will not keep you out of hell. Only faith in God, and not faith as supposedly as to hypocrisy in this charismatic way of life, but holy living. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall even see the Lord. God is holy. And he is the spirit of holiness. And unless that spirit of holiness is in you, then you don't have eternal life, because there's no source of life except him. That life is in the Son, even that spirit of holiness. Paul said, God, whom I serve with my spirit as the spirit of holiness, I serve him with my mind. And he is the Holy Spirit. That's why I teach you the mode of dressing that I teach, the mode of living that I teach. Someone would say, well, I don't see, well, that's got anything to do with it, Brother Pike. Well, the Bible says, be holy in body and in spirit. That's why you don't ever get the things that you'd like to get from God, as to the blessings and see the miraculous and all these wonderful things that you'd like to see. It's because you don't conform to holiness. The Jews did see that. The reason they saw that is because they conform to holiness. Even the people that are out in the world today, they get healings and miracles. A lot of times when you don't, and someone would say, well, why? And I know that don't sit well with you, because people who are religious was like the Pharisees, you know, and scribes, more holy than thou, and they always repelled Jesus in their spirit. But that's where they missed him. It's because God is a spirit. Had they had a sweet Holy Spirit toward him and become interwoven with him, they'd have been saved. But like people I've got at Bethlehem, they never do that. Even years, though they be with me, they never do that. Their spirit is never right with me. It always repels me. Their minds aren't never right with me. But anyway, the Jews kept their bodies under subjection. And they didn't know anything about spiritual worship. But they did keep their bodies under subjection. And the blood that was on the seat of atonement from the foundation of the world took care of them. And in the world today, the blood that's on the seat of atonement doing the dispensation of grace, it takes care of them people that are without, those people that are out there. And because they don't know much, much isn't required. And so then they come and just a little stirred and their faith is stirred and they get healed because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the rain is on the unjust. And they prosper when you don't prosper. They prosper when you don't. And the more that you learn about God, the worse shape you're in as religious people. You get worse and worse. You learn more and more. You get worse and worse. You get more sickness. You get more poverty. You get more problems. You get more oppression, demon possession. Why? Because you are a religious people that's coming into the light and you're destroying yourself. And Solomon said, why make thyself overwise and destroy thyself? But you that are Christians, that love God, that have the divine conception of life on the inside, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. You are not getting worse and worse. You are getting better and better, even though you're having a worse and worse time a lot of times because of the things that you come to know, because you're not diligent enough. You're not thorough enough. The Bible said, when you rebuke to the Lord, repent and do it hastily. For chastisement is grievous for the moments, but after a while it brings the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And no one that belongs to God as a son or daughter ever comes to God without chastisement. You people that feel that you're doing real good, financially, physically, whatever, and feel that God is with you and you frown on the others, no doubt in my mind you're the worst culprits of all of them. Because no one comes to God without chastisement. The Bible said if you are without chastisement, then are you bastards. For all of God's children are partakers of chastisement. Jesus, our example, to follow in his steps, though he was a son, yet God tells us he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Even unto death and being made perfect, he therefore become the author and the finisher of our salvation. And we're taught to equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. So you can have prosperity and suppose that worldly gain is godliness from such turn away. And you can have a godly gain and it can be from God and you can be the right kind of people. But you can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, going on to the full reward. You can have your health. Paul said, I see as your shepherd or the overseer of the Gentile church that'll have to give an account to God. As the gospel was committed unto Peter to the Gentiles or to the Jews, so it has been committed unto me to the Gentiles, even though Peter had the keys to open it to both. He said, I seek to present you without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, body, soul, and spirit. So there's three things that you're dealing with that you've got to deal with. And of course, we was making mention of the body. Of the body. See, it's going to take the spirit of holiness. Holy in body. Because you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. So you've got to be holy in body, soul, and spirit. All three of them. Why is that? It is because there are soul creatures. There are body creatures. And there are spirit creatures. And there are three in one as to body, soul, and spirit creatures. And even though a lot of times we don't get to talk to you about it and explain these things as to getting into the deep mysteries of God, sometimes tired from trying to pray at night maybe or making a little effort toward God or trying to travel a little bit, do a little bit, go preach, take care of a little business and whatever it might be that we have to do. But even as the ladies, I notice the ladies sometimes, some of them are real foxy, real sly, real cunning. And they act like they've gone to the long dresses, but they haven't. They're still wearing the midi dresses. We believe in the maxi dresses. Some say, well, I just don't know what Brother Pike believes. And that's why, well, now you know, I believe in the maxi dresses. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, why do you believe in the maxis? I believe in the midis. Well, that's fine. That's your world. You believe in whatever you want to. I have no dispute with you. I'm talking about folks that's going to heaven. Oh, somebody said, well, you don't believe the others are going to heaven? Not when they come to the knowledge of the truth as to how long them dresses ought to be. And the men running around in shorts, what if I went around in midi pants? How would you judge me? Come on, folks. Let's be realistic. I come up here and I got on midi pants. And I said, well, why do you look at me like that? I'm your pastor. Oh, no. Somebody says you're not my pastor. Well, why not? With midi pants on? Well, what about a woman with midi skirts? Come on. It don't sound too good when you turn it that way, does it? Now, you know why it don't sound right? Because it ain't right. And you girls and men, women run around in minis, you are nothing but prostitutes. Nothing but plain prostitutes, that's all. And you men that are interested in that are nothing but whoremongers. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking about God, and I'm talking about holiness, and I'm talking about eternal life. It's just like while I was over in the island when I preached over there, the pastor himself running around in shorts. I said, a man that's a preacher running around in shorts needs to be born again. It didn't set well with him because he was on the front seat. Well, he never come back at me. He knew it was true. So, Brother Pike, you're too hard. How can that be too hard when the Lord will look at you and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you, into hell, into the flames. And you can scream and cry like the judges. Sometimes I've seen women bawl and men upset and whatever, but just take them away. No mercy. So, I got women here that they're not going to listen to me. Why do you believe in those maxes, Brother Pike? Because Jesus, the Bible says, that's the way it was to be. When he appeared with a garment down to his feet, his ankles. He's our example. We ought to follow in his steps. If men should do it, how much more women ought to do it? There was the one that caused the problem in the beginning. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said the man was not in the transgression. Why was it that the man was not in the transgression? Because he was God's glory, and there's nothing wrong with God's glory. But the woman is man's glory, and everything's wrong with man's glory. You love the Lord? When she listened to the wrong voice, she got the wrong mind, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the desire of things. And who is that wicked woman? It's the flesh. You and me and everyone that ain't born again. Everyone that professes to be born again, everyone that's religious, that's still in the flesh, you can't please God because that's that silly woman the Bible speaks of with her foolish ideas. And the woman's only symbolic of it. But it does tell us that the woman needs to listen to her husband and the husband needs to listen to God. The woman was made for man's glory and man was made for the woman's glory. And when the woman doesn't abide within the man's mind, then she's nothing but a byproduct. She's not even in the original creation. And that means that the man, as long as he's not with God, he's not even in the original creation. He's a beast. And he comes from the fall. He's the results of the fall, a conception of the fall. But when he is born again, he was even before the world ever was, as in the foreknowledge of God. He is the very originality of God. He's the very body of God. He's the very image that God made as to being the image of the Spirit, which is the glory of God, or the projection of the glory, which makes them as to one him the glory of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. So many things that we could say. It's real late this morning. I'm always late. Seemed like. But we're getting closer and closer to the change. And going down yonder had to do with the change. I believe in the maxes because that's what the Bible teaches. dresses becometh holiness. And if I put on many pants and you don't think that becomes holiness, then I'm sure that you would agree with me that it don't become holiness for women to run around in midi skirts. All right, just talking about it. Considering it, and it looks like it, just about everybody agrees with me. Somebody say hallelujah. That's when you're having a good service, when they're all in one mind and one accord. That's when the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. Somebody said, well, I definitely am. Well, the next time I see you, young lady, be sure it's Maximus. Bible to the child is known by his doing. Okay. Now, some of the men can get out of their tight pistol-legged pants, and you know, I don't think you ought to be running around in pants where they look like a balloon, but at least you can use be a little like a decent person. Reflect decency, if nothing else. There are people in the world that do reflect decency. But anyway, getting on with my thought, I saw a vision, you remember. And in this vision, my mother, which undoubtedly represented the church, I saw her in a miniskirt, which I never remember seeing my mother like that. But in the vision, I did. And as I told you concerning the vision, I said, and they're beginning to publish some of the vision from time to time now in the Daystar. But I was so alarmed when I saw my mother. I was so frustrated. I was shaking my head and I said, no, not my mother. And the vision just, it went away. Kind of like they do on television sometimes when they just fade something out and fade something in and just kind of like a reviving sort of a thing. And there she stood in a midi skirt. I said, no. And then all of a sudden there she stood in a maxi skirt. And I said, now that's nice. That's my mother. That's my mother right there. The Bible said, heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. See, when I asked the Lord, I said, what is this? I was made to know there has been a move of God, as in the early life, as in heaven or in the spirit, so in the earth. And it was more like children, not fully clothed. It wasn't the full message, 30-fold. And then there came another move, not as to the full message, but as to a 60-fold. And then there came the end time of the full garment to put ye on your beautiful garments, Zion, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on, which was perfection. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect, the garment down to the ankles. And to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it's very obvious, mini or midi or maxi. You look back and you see the way the preachers are preaching. They're just now, like Brother Walton, about 10,000 followers preaching to him Jesus' name, lived his life practically. People followed him all over the nation. Works over in Washington State, over in Tennessee and wherever. We bought the big ship from him. Went to his place and preached Jesus' name. It has been in the last little bit at the change while we was there that Betty made mention of this before Brother Reno and the sister, who are Baptist people. They're sitting at the table eating with them. Betty made mention of this about the change of Brother Walton. And it's really something because we have a Brother Walton, which is a first cousin of mine, and then we have a Brother Walton. And here we're in Walton County. But anyway, there's a lot to be said about that, allegorically speaking. But he told them that they had to be baptized in Jesus' name. See, we're right here as to a maxi or a finish. Somebody said, give him the maximum. The maximum. And sure enough, people are coming into the light. The real sevenfold light is beginning to come. The real body of Christ is to the fullness is beginning to come about. And what does it do in holy, fully dressing? It helps do away with devils. I know there are wolves in sheep clothing. And people that want to go half nude, they use that for an excuse. You know, a crutch. Satan always quotes scripture to justify his wretched doing. But when the body is covered up, it helps to keep demons away as to people looking. You might have some, but at least would say to this extent, you got it covered up where others don't see it too good. And he does savor the things that be of the flesh, and he does work through the flesh, and he does like to project the body. The Bible says the dispute is over the body, and said women mince. They mince. He uses their feet. They want to wear high heels. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you're not one of those fanatics. No, believe it or not, I am not a fanatic. I'm a son of God. Let's give it a hand. I just love the truth and came to bear witness of it. Somebody would say, well, now, Brother Pike, you don't believe that God notices a woman's feet and a man notices one. Oh, yes. The Bible said they mince with their feet as they walk to catch attention. And the Bible also says that God is concerned about their eyes, whether it's man or woman. And the Bible speaks of it as to the male and female and said, don't let her take you with her eyes. You know, the sun just got to go, every time you see them, their eyes, you know, just got to go up and down like a shutter. And does God care for the body? You don't think that God cares for clothes. It's like I said, you know, years ago when somebody caught all over me about preaching about the clothes. You remember, I was just a young fella, young preacher. I didn't know what to say. But I knew it was wrong. And they said, preaching on the clothesline. I said, and the Lord just spoke right quick. I said, yes, praise God. If somebody don't preach on, ain't going to be no clothes on the line to preach on. I was little and young, but the Lord had an answer. And you know, it's done about got that way. There just about ain't no clothes on the line. At this particular place, this woman was dressing her children out in shorts because the complaint was that she didn't want to have to do all that washing. But I said that to say this, is God concerned about clothing? He spoke of clothing a number of times. And wasn't it God that clothed them in the beginning? Did they buy their clothes? Did they get their clothes? Or was it God that clothed them? Even their shame caused them to try to sew fig leaves together, which wasn't a clothing. But the Lord, how he got the skin, whether he created it, whether it came from an animal or whatever, they had failed to the beast level and he clothed them. He clothed them. The Bible said they had made them aprons. Must have been like the many generation. But the Bible said God put them on coats. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, just talking about a few little things that somebody said, well, I don't think that matters. That's because you're blind. And you can't see afar off, and you don't have any understanding. It was the little foxes that spoiled the vines. And the Bible says it spoiled your vine because you have tender grapes. And that God has chosen the foolish and abased things. That's foolish and abased to you because you're so wise and smart. To confound the intellect that they that are supposed to be so brilliant, the Bible said. God has set this so high above their understanding as the heavens is the earth. And he hath confounded them and blinded their eyes as suffering Satan to do that. They can never see good when good cometh. Never see it. That's why they reason like they do. So when it comes to these things, he hath chosen the foolish and abased things. For the Bible said the things of God is foolishness to the carnal mind, to the natural man, and he cannot know them, for they are spiritually discerned. They're not foolish at all. But to the world, as to their definition. What was it? I read a little article in the last few days. Some of them might remember it. It comes to my mind, but I can't recollect just what it was. But anyway, they have scientifically proven. What was it? Anyway, something in the Old Testament that was talking about, they scientifically proven at last that it looks like that the Bible was right, that there really was these things like the ark and the different things that the Bible spoke of, that they have finally, after studying and a number of generations dying and passing on, since God's people have stood on it so much and theirs have turned into foolishness, they've decided that since they don't have nothing else to study, that the Christians must be right, and they're scientifically documenting the fact that, that the Bible could be true. Isn't that amazing? All right, so now your professors can talk with you, and you can have a conversation with them, and if you don't get too far off, they'll agree that there is a possibility. Men measuring themselves by themselves is not wise. Seeking diplomacies, foolishness. God has confounded them. The Bible said to confound the wise, making it foolishness. Because when they knew not God according to the biblical teachings of God, it pleased God to turn all of their understanding into foolishness. It's like in the days of David when the man followed after God and he was God's counselor as to tell David how to fight, where to go, and what to do. And the Bible said his counsel was as that of God. And then when he decided that he'd go another way and do his own thing, the Bible said when he did that, then God turned all of his wisdom into foolishness. And that's what happens to you folks. You want to go God's way, you want to go with the pastor, and then you decide you got your own ideas about it. You're going to work it out for yourself and try to mix a little darkness with light and try to move with the upper echelon, and move with the elite and be with the dignitaries and be with the wealthy, the rich, and all these kind of things. And God turns your understanding into foolishness. And the first news you know, all you got is muddy water. Isn't that amazing? All you've got then is muddy water up here. I use the expression muddy water because the other day we was talking to somebody up at Lamar's place where we bought the Silver Eagle. And this man was the vice president of the whole southern district of the Shriners. Very nice, congenial type person. Had a beautiful eagle there. And I was talking to him about, or rather Joe was. He made a statement just as I walked up. And he said, the only potentate. And I thought, what is he saying? He said, the only thing I can figure out is between here and here, it's just a lot of muddy water. And that was what he thought about some of his leaders and some of them that was over the situation. Had a picture painted of the crippled children on the side of the bus, which I thought was phenomenal, and that we went there to get a Silver Eagle as the connection as with the place where the Silver Eagles are made and where the Silver Eagles have gone into as to Mexico, and they have them. They've been sold to them. And here we go on the behalf of God as to the crippled. And there's a picture of the crippled, and this is the Shriners, and they are also connected with what we were going to do with ours there for the crippled children. But anyway, see, to the world it's foolishness. It is foolishness to the world. But it's the only thing that makes sense. The world is foolish. And the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. And all these brilliant people are nothing but fools and measuring themselves by themselves with their diplomacies and their educational system, which was the trouble to begin with, the old tree of knowledge. They have proven themselves to be millions and millions of fools. And they're on their way to hell, and now they're so mixed up and muddled up they can't find their way, like one over there. And Israel there at the hotel where we was at, I tried to talk to this man, and him a Jew. And he said, I done studied so much. Said, I've done studied so many people's writings. And he began to speak of the philosophers and mythology and all these things and the Jews' laws and all these things. And he said, now I'm so mixed up. Said, he couldn't find out what was. He didn't know what was truth anymore. And he said, and besides that, said, I'm writing a book on the raw deal that God gave Moses. That's the kind of condition that they get into. It doesn't matter who you are. See, to follow the truth, to have a love for the truth of God will turn you over to a reprobate mind and let you believe a lie and be damned. He will send you strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie, the Bible said, and be damned because you did not have a love for the truth. Now, somebody said, well, who are you talking to? I'm talking to, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. But you people right here, Bethlehemites, that's under the immediate oversight of the pastoral ministry here, I'm trying to tell you, ladies, that you need to have some understanding and dress right. Not dress form-fitting, not dress like you're in a sack, and you men the same way, and that we need to be ladies and gentlemen. Used to in the South, people that were Southerners that loved the Lord, and they were decent, just decent. They had the big homes and whatever. They were called ladies and gentlemen. And I've told you so many times that I remember when you did not speak in any derogative way in front of a man's lady, you didn't do it. I remember it as a boy. It just wasn't done. And if somebody erringly did it, there'd be a half a dozen men in a minute say, watch your lips. And they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I can remember it so many times it happening. And even an old drunk, I told you how that when an old drunk would come down the street, it didn't make no difference if he was, as they said, three sheets in the wind or whatever. When a lady come by, he'd stagger around like that, picking up his hat and walk off the side of the, out into the road. I've seen him do it. Because he might be drunk, but he wasn't too drunk to know that Grandpa would get him or somebody would get him if he tampered around with the lady. But now, nothing to it. It doesn't matter with whoever the woman belongs to. It don't make no difference with him anymore. But that ain't God's ethics. Somebody said, well, God don't care about this thing. Well, if he doesn't care, why did he tell a man? As it was when Abraham was in his journey, and Abraham was afraid for his life. He said what he did about telling him that you're my sister. And it was because having so many wives is to a different mother. The man took the woman over to his house, to his palace. And God gave him a dream. And God cares so much. He said, you touch that woman. He said, you're a dead man. He said, that's my prophet. He said, you just touch her and you're a dead man. He cares. And the man was so tore up. The Bible said on one occasion, he closed the womb to where there couldn't even any children be born because one of his ladies had been taken. And that unawares. And the men said, we did not know. We'd done this out of the innocency of our heart. And was real upset with Abraham. Said, the woman could have been defiled by one of the younger men, and said, you have done us a great injustice. And the Bible said that God spoke to him and said, I did this because it was in the innocency of your heart and you did not know. So, but I'm telling you, you touch her, you're a dead man. See, and God cares, folks. A woman, a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. But otherwise, who can find one? It's an adulterous generation of both men and women. See, and the Bible said women like that are rottenness in the bones of their husbands. And the man is rottenness, spending his time always away from the wife and messing around, grinning and talking and laughing, and especially using it as religion. Religion. I warned him. I said, don't go off doing that using a religious approach. I said, you're going to wind up in problems. They've come back and said, Brother Pike, I've heard your voice speak to me and said it happened to me exactly the way you told me, and I use religion. And like I spoke of this rottenness in the system here in Monroe, I know somebody said, well, why don't you preach to us? Well, I'm just talking to you. Jesus just talked to them. But here in Monroe, the rottenness that's going on, especially this police force here, as rotten can be, and that don't always mean that everybody is. But in general, it's a rotten system. It's a rotten police force. It's a rotten operation. It's a rotten government. Everything is satanic. It's rotten. It's not of God. This world is not of God. It's vanity. The government's not of God. The police is not of God. There's nothing in it that's of God. All that is of the world, all that is of the world, the Bible said, is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the educational system and everything else, the monetary, the business, everything. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Everything works toward beautifying the flesh, pompadouring the hair, jogging, going nude, eating, drinking, gullible desires, whoring after the things of the world. All is of the devil. All is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's why people that seem to be so intelligent is nothing but a thorn in your flesh. You spare one of them, you got a problem. That's why that the prophets of old dwelt in caves, Abraham tents. They tried to get away from the world, to get away from it. They didn't want no part of it. To get away from it, to stay away from it. They wanted virtuous minds and they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand the evil oppression. All of these things. Even the hospitals is rotten, ruined, and overrun with filth. Even though a medicine doeth good, and even though Jesus said a sick needs a physician, that's to a decent person and to a decent nurse that go about things in a decent way like they did when I was a boy. And even back there, the corruption was beginning. And military forces, the military institution, is the low-downest, rottenest, filthy thing, most filthy thing there is. I don't know of anything worse except the educational system that is responsible for all of it. And the three things, as I've said, that's really corrupted the world is the military, the medical world, and the educational system. That's your three detriments of earth that's just brought the calamity upon the whole world. And the root of all of that is the love for money. See, the whole world in corruption, doctors, some of the low-downest things that ever walked on the face of the earth, dentists, the same way. The things that they've been caught doing, that we spoke of that they were doing before they caught them do it, when they set up cameras, and the things that they've caught them doing as to the people when they had given them shots and got them beside themselves. Filthy, dirty, scummy, low down. And then somebody says you ought to have your private physician. That person needs something done to their head. They need something done to their heart. Now, papers, I say again, don't give nobody the right to turn your home into whoremongers and prostitutes. It's that old beast to start with. I don't care how much philosophy that he knows or how much education he supposedly got, how rich he is, it don't give him the right to be nothing, to lord over God's people and to be nothing. He's got the same trashy mind and born with the same trashy spirit, all having corrupted their way before God, everyone turning to their own way, looking to their own quarter for their own gain. And the worst kind of them is religious proselytes and hypocrites that profess to be something when they don't make no effort to do right because they don't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside. Haven't even been born again. They can't even see good. Never have seen good. Never will see good. Never will even see God. Never will even see the pearly gates. They'll be turned into hell without ever seeing anything. I told you the other day, son said, well, you know, you'll be turned away from heaven. You'll be turned away from God. You'll see all these glorious things. And there you'll be turned away from them. You're not going to have to worry about that. You're not going to see them. The Bible said you won't even see good when good comes. Satan's blinded your eyes. God won't even allow you to see the beauty of the things that he's got. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of men at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He'll never see those things. You come to church and those things are going on. You never see them. But anyway, that's what a preacher hates. That's what a preacher preaches against. That's why a man's a preacher. He hates that world. He hates that way of life. He hates those things. A billy stick and a gun and a badge. A diplomacy and a title. And a devil is personified. And on his way he goes. To corrupt, to tear down, to cheat, to rob, to steal. And when he gets through, you don't have nothing left. You don't even have a wife with any virtue. You don't have a daughter with any virtue. You don't have a husband with any virtue. You don't have anything. You just got a trashy, scummy mess that's going to be burned. And Jesus, the precious Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the Holy Sweet Spirit, that came in that human body to preserve it so that there could be at least a root. And had not God left us a root, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd have burned us all. But David spoke of it. The others spoke of it. Jesus, the only clean, holy thing, the Holy Spirit kept that body pure that God might have a part in the human life. And then after that took the wrath, sorrow and heartaches upon himself. That is, Jesus did, the Holy Spirit did, through that body to bruise, let it be tormented, that we as a bunch of wretched religious proselytes and whatever might come to our human reasoning and senses, or those that are in darkness might come to the light and love the Lord Jesus Christ and forget the self-esteem and realize that the people are nothing more than a bunch of devils that Satan has entered into to fight against the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, and why were they gathered together when they come against the church? Was it not against my Christ? And that the Lord has sent the ministry in saving them first and getting the devil out of them, that they might cast the devil out of the others. And that he sent his word and healed them. And with his word he cast out the unclean spirit, that he might bring a godly government and a godly people and a holy people. And this is why the church is in derision. And this is why the church is trouble. And this is why the minister's trouble. You spare any of them, they're pricks in your side, because their reason, all of them got their own devilish reasoning. And God has set in Zion a stone, a stumbling stone of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And whosoever falleth on this stone shall be broken upon whomsoever it falleth, it will grind them to powder. But all of them's got their own mind because of the many millions of devils. And you're there and you got to work it all out by faith in God. And he's got to work yours out and get the dirty, trashy mess out of your life. And then you got to get it out of their life. And he's got to be patient within you. You got to be patient with them. Then there's always these brilliant preachers and these brilliant laymen and these brilliant men and brilliant women, self-willed and stubborn and haughty and rebellion, self-esteem. It's always got to trouble you all down through the years. Then there's always these ministries that's looking for the bright side of life and just wants to corrupt, trying to project that old devilish image of the beast and trying to get a meal ticket and trying to make themselves something. About the time that they think they've got it, the Lord comes down on them, or it's about time to put them in a casket and drop them in a hole and let the worms eat them. You know, folks, think about this. I'm going to close in just a minute or two. Like a prophet of old, he was so upset he wouldn't even prophesy to them because of the evil that some of them was practicing. But think about this. What makes you, what makes me, what makes any other individual feel like that they are anything? I'm talking about anything. Somebody would say, well, I know I'm something. What makes you think you're something? What makes me think I'm something? What makes anybody think they're anything? Somebody says, well, I know I'm something. I might not be. No, the Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. If you can get something out of nothing, then I'll agree with you. Somebody said, well, look at God. He brought something out of nothing. God can do that. Somebody said, well, he brought something good out of me. No, he didn't bring nothing good out of you, speaking to them that are nothing. What he did, he killed the nothing. He destroyed it, as we say. That's why it is nothing. It once was and it isn't anymore. And he completely done away with it and raised up something in its stead. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Another one has been born in his place. Another government has come. Another world, another understanding, another mind. He said, don't lean not even to one thought of your own understanding. So, I said those things to say this. What makes us think that we're anything? Whether we got a diplomacy or whether we haven't got anything. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. All have turned to their own way. Looked to their own quarter for their own gain. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. For he is the Lord that healeth all of our diseases, forgiveth all of our iniquities. That's why we should love him. That's why we should praise him. That's why we should forget about us. See, is there anything that you're going to keep of the world? Aren't you going to die, rich or poor? Supposedly to be pretty or handsome? Supposedly to be intelligent or ignorant? Is there anybody that ever lived to keep it? Has there ever been? Whether it's gold or silver or diamonds, whether they were decked with crowns or whatever. Didn't they all go the same way, as Jacob said, the way of all the earth? Food for the worms. What makes you think you're something? What makes you think you own something? What you supposedly own now, somebody before you owned it, and somebody before them, and somebody before them. See, God owns it. I mean, let's be realistic. God owns it. You are a steward. And that life, as I said, is passing through the stalk. God's waiting to see what kind of harvest it's going to bring. That's why we need some perfect fruit. He doesn't want just a little nubbin, as we used to call it as a country boy. He wants a full ear of corn. See, it's up to us to work, do what's needful to bring forth a real crop and to keep the weeds out. Like it was Khrushchev in the time of his regime. Said he used to have, know something about God, but there's nothing but weeds in my garden now. All right, didn't mean to keep you so long, say so many things, but I'm just telling you that it's time that you quit playing around with these things, because if men like Oral Roberts, see, according to what I understand, the city of faith had to do with, I go to prepare a place. And if I go, there has to be as in heaven, there has to be a place in the earth. God chose Oral Roberts, which was a devout, very sacred type person to show that, but had to fall. Because Lucifer had to fall, and he went from the spirit into the flesh. That's what all the world will do. They'll reflect. And of course, if I went very far, I'd have to get into many things here. But I told you that the religious people of the world are reflectors. And as long as they are in the heavens, which means among the religious as to the God people, as long as they're ranking there, they are reflectors of the God people. And that light from them comes into the earth. And that's where all your churches and religions come from and your programs and whatever. And as long as that reflection is there, then the people of the earth will pick that up and absorb that. And that will be their religious consolation, their religious inspiration. And they'll go on giving their wealth to them and they'll pile it on. And Satan will say, give me 1,000, send me a love gift, I'll do this. And they'll project their bodies and they'll go whirling. The world loves its own. And then at the end, God will bundle them all together. He'll bundle the terrorists into one bundle, cast them into the fire. And we're right there at that point. You notice all of them's falling, all of them's going the same way. And Oral was the head of it. I remember when he started it and the Lord showed me, and he turned Pentecost into havoc. Long then, Pentecostal people loved the Lord. And he meant well, but he got the groups together. They were very uneducated, a lot of people, the common people, heard Jesus gladly. He got them together. I remember when he done it. Began to have organized religion. Billy Graham did the same thing. The Pope has always done it. And as that happened, it began to follow. One minister, another minister. And they found out that was the way to do it, to get people's interest in the crowd. And then they included sports. That was one of the big fascinations. And anything else that the people wanted is to movies, money, plush places to have their seminars. Begin the building the biggest and best kinds of cathedrals, having an educational system, all these other things. The world. And they became executives. And now it's all falling because it's the casting out of Lucifer. Just like we said, it would come. The man-child has been caught up as to the revelation. And the true light now shines as to the day star dawning within your heart as toward the change of that. What did we just come from all this? That's what it was all about. The place meant the change. Going through Dallas, as to Brother Branham, had great significance, even as to the restoration of the Silver Eagle. Didn't foolish things to confound the wise. As the church is now withdrawing, like scientists say, as of the sun going into a nova, see, as in heaven, so on earth, the church, true church, is now withdrawing, and the body's going to come into holiness. Few that be the find it, little flock, but it's going to come into holiness. You remember we predicted Atlanta, Georgia, what it had to do with the vision that we had, the rod in our hand, the fire came. After the maxi skirt, I told you the rain poured out. I was standing there, and I was real pleased when my mother had the maxi. And I felt a drop of rain, and I said, rain. And then I felt more rain, and I said, rain. And I felt more rain. And then I said, rain, 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 like that. And I wasn't calling for rain. I just said, rain, rain, rain. And then all of a sudden, it was just almost like pouring out in buckets. Said, I'll give you the form and the latter rain the same season. And then I heard something say, you have the rod in your hand. Whatever you say, that's what it will be. Well, that's what I had done. I was saying, with the rod, I want my mother to. And the Bible said, the rule of the rod of iron caught up to break the nations like pottery. And break in pieces, that is. And I turned like an old house. And this was an old house down here that we're living in. Had porches on it. That's the way it was. And I was about this far out of Atlanta in the vision. And I seemed to be in this identical place in the vision by the old house, which is the only old thing that's on the property as to our buildings. And yet the Lord has completely redone it as to the redemption of the body to where it's not old anymore. Nothing interiorly, foundation, nothing. As a matter of fact, it's so nice now, especially as the bathroom. I told Betty, I feel like moving out of it. I just feel like it's just too nice for me. We've been used to the cross, and we've been used to, even though we've had a lot of good things, you know, here and there, but we've been used to carrying a cross, and we've been used to living in a common way. And that's real nice. And like I was telling Joe the other day, I said, I can see this. If I was building this for somebody else, it'd just thrill my heart. Or if I could give it to somebody else, it would thrill my heart. Because as we gave the Lincolns or whatever, giving it to the people, that way I have a treasure in heaven. Let my treasures in heaven. Some people ain't going to let nothing in heaven, whether it's money or whether it's whatever they've got. The early church gave all, but some people are trying to get into heaven and hold everything that they've got, and they want to come in like Ananias and Sapphira and be a part of little Bethlehem, but they don't want to sacrifice, they don't want to give anything, and they're going to wind up dead in their soul and maybe their body too. But anyway, getting on with our thought here and trying to complete it. Just a few more things to say. And if it goes into a nova, then that indicates in the natural that everything is over. And it will do it about the middle of the week. But with these kind of things, spiritually things are happening. And we're watching it in the spirit every day. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, but no one can judge him. Somebody said, well, I'm watching you and I'm judging you. No one can judge him that's spiritual. It's not possible. He is perfect forever. You don't even have anything to even say in the matter. All you can do is just run for your life. You don't even have any understanding to judge him with. Any person that even thinks about judging the saint of God, it's proof that they are in total darkness. If they knew God and were children of light, to walk in the light as he's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin and iniquity. If he had one bit of understanding, or she had one bit of understanding, the first thing they would know, the Bible says, esteem others better than yourself. You wouldn't be trying to figure them out, or judge them, or self-esteem, or whatever. You would be in admiration of them. Even if they were the very least to do it to them, you'd do it to God. You wouldn't have nothing to say about them, or no fault to find with them. So that's proof that you're in total darkness the very minute you start judging. Especially to judge another man's servant, and especially the minister. So then they are perfected forever. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's just proof of your blindness. When you sit around and talk, joke, laugh about them, and say things and find fault with them over the church. So it's proof that you're in blindness. Satan blinded your eyes that you can't see when the good comes. But in that is a reflector. Those stars are going to fall. The religious people are fallen, as we said in the thunders, would fall. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. I don't know. I heard this. Somebody came to me with it, that somebody here had a vision or night dream concerning me and the thunders. And they said that a voice said to them, and this might be way off, I don't know. The person could tell it if they ever get a chance. But I believe they said that we had the thunders, or it had to do with something about us having the thunders. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I know we preached on the thunders. And the Lord has showed me a lot of things. And God withhold no good thing from them that walks upright before Him. We have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. So through Him we know all things, because it's not us living but Christ. And going on to the full measure, the full stature, to the full reward. See, I do know this, that those stars are falling like we predicted that they would. The lights are going out like we predicted that they would. And you're the recipients of those things that we said would come. And you're receiving them. Not all of you. You can't receive nothing save it be given you of God. But some of you are receiving it. Some of you like to come and fellowship. You hear speak and whatever. But some of you are elect and you're receiving this and you're lighting up. You've got oil in your lamp. And this is lighting you up. Like my sister said she saw a night vision or dream, and a brother, William Branham, came through lighting candles. She talked like she was amazed, said, because it was seven candles. Said he came through, and he lit each candle. And he lit each candle down to the sixth candle, like we got seven here. He lit one, two, three, four, five, six. And then he went to light the seventh candle. And said he frantically, as she would put it, tried to light the seventh candle. Said he never could get it to light up. But he had the fire to light it with. But said he never could get it to light up. See, as to the last thing, as to the Laodicean church age, the lukewarm Laodicean church age. See, try to light that up. And as to this last generation, the only thing that's going to light, that age is not going to light up. The only age, only thing that's going to light up is the church. It's going to come forth in that age as to the sevenfold light to shine in that age. And the gleaning. And with that, the end of the church ages. And like I said, if in heaven, as in earth, whatever, then Oral Roberts having the place as to, I go to prepare a place. If I prepare a place, I will return again to receive you unto my own. So Oral has prepared a place. Said God told him to build the city of faith. So he did. And all of the ministers followed him. And he's been the great, mighty one of all of them. And Jim Baker was going to compete with him. I picked it up as to what Jim Baker had in mind. And then Jimmy Swaggart was going to try his best to overthrow Jim Baker. And go over the top of Old Roberts and ridicule Old Roberts by making the statements like he did. Some pigeon over there in a prayer tower, crying out that God's going to kill him if he don't get X amount of dollars. To say the least, and I don't mean it wrong, Jimmy Swaggart wasn't even worthy to dust his shoes. The man was a great and a mighty man. But like Solomon, we predicted that he would fall away in his old age. And even in my early 20s, if Betty recalls, I believe it was along in there or in my 20s, when we was putting up our gospel tent in Alabama, I told her what the Lord had showed me, how he would fall in the last days. It would have to do with Evelyn, the educational system, and what would happen. It would have to do with sports. Done it. See, and in this, the city of faith took all the people in, and down went those other ministers as they tried to compete. And he stood head and shoulders above all of them, and he made the statement later, even in my youth, he said, I always knew I'd cast a great shadow across the land. Now he's just dropped back down to normal folks. But Jesus said, I go. I'll come back. I'll come back. Even as that we saw looking in this direction, and as I'm coming back down to a normal trend of life, and he made the statement, according to what I heard, that he wished he was back in the times of the old sawdust trail. That is, when he was under the tent, was living for God, praying for the sick. God was mightily moving in his life. See, I want to say one thing, and that is, if that is over and it's caught up now into the rich, into the elite, the money came principally from the rich, even though the beginning of it was it robbed God's people and took the pennies to get up into the eyes of the rich, and the movie stars and whatever picked it up, like they've tried to pick this up, and we refuse to have them. I've absolutely refused to have them. You say, have they really tried? So help me God, they've tried to pick this up. And I refused them. I turned away from them. You can be skeptical, but the reason that you're skeptical is this, I feel, is because you're lustful and foolish. That's coming from a certain area. And it's just simply because you are lustful and foolish. You've got your mind on your body and on your face, and it's childish. And you're not finding my favor. You're doing it to find my favor. You're not going to find my favor. I hate it. To me, it's death. I hate it with all that's within me. And the thing you need to do is seek God's favor, and then you'll find the minister's favor if he's a true minister. So then, if that is it as to the old Roberts things that he's done, he built a city. He built it. And if that's at an end, that indicates that the church has come to her perfection. That the city of God, the place that Jesus went away to prepare. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with us? Because the city was a city called New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, whose bride ye are. And Jesus said in Malachi, when I come to make up my jewels, and ye are the jewels that make up the beautiful walls founded upon the foundation of the 12 apostolic leaders. And John saw, after the seven vials was poured out, he saw this beautiful city descending out of heaven. And you are the lively stones of those that dwell in heaven. As spirits you dwell in heaven. And you're the ones that descend out of heaven. Because in the foreknowledge of God we was in heaven, and we came from heaven, and we're the body of the Lord, and we go back to the heaven. The others of the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. As to the beast, they come from the dust, and they climbed up into this wonderful light of his glory, as to the reflection. But they go back to the dust, and their glory is over. And the glitter and the glamour of all things is gone, and the lying vanities fade away. But ours is the glory of God forever. See, so it is evident that the light's going out to them, and their stars are falling, the wandering stars are coming down. Like the Bible said, Satan, wrapping his tail around a third part of the stars, casting them down to earth. We could go into many things concerning the dark age, the tribulations, and these things concerning that. Some of it's on tape. But here, the city. See, you are just about to the point of perfection now. Everything is being perfected. Someone would say, well, wait, I don't know. What about that city being perfected? How is God going to do that? Jesus is building that city. Christ, the body of Jesus, is the atonement. You know, the right hand is to the blood, and God looking at this through the blood. Jesus' body is the fullness. As all things through Christ Jesus, and we are the members in particular, he is the head that will appear as to the capstone of those many members. And we are upon the foundations of this which is earthly, as to the apostolic leaders, up, 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 until we reach the heavens, where the body sits as to the capstone to the throne. That's the head and the mind of it. The Bible should be careful how you build upon this foundation, because if it's hay and stubble, it'll be burned, and the day shall try your work, because you tried as if a fire. But if your works are Christian works, they'll survive. If your works survive, then you have a reward. So we're just about reach that capstone now, which is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you as in his members. That's what we've been reaching for. Members, Paul says, it's not me living, but Christ, caught up as a capstone, an overseer. And we're working our way toward that Christ, which was the revelation. Sevenfold light. And with that, the brightness causing everything to vanish away. As to you and I. To the rest of the world, the church goes away. And that bright light doesn't come back until after the millennium. It comes back after the millennium. As to God and the bright light, otherwise we do come during the millennium as with Jesus as to the bodily perspective. But as to that which is to rule, he as to the Jewish people and the head of it, showing the body, will rule through the millennium. And then the bright light of his glory will show after the millennium. So many things to be said. Great is the mystery of godliness. But if Oral Roberts has finished his work, which we said he had, Billy Graham has finished his work, the papacy of Rome has finished his work. You know, we said the papacy of Rome and then the crown taken away from them because it's been with them as to an earthly regime and had to remain that way and could not bring in, there could not be a heavenly regime brought in. Though we are the salt of the earth, though we are the children of God, though we are the lively stones, though we are the new Jerusalem that's built upon the foundation as to foundations that no other man can lay. Now, we are the bride of Christ. We are that city descending out of heaven. We are that as to coming to the place of Revelation 19 and to the Thessalonian change first to be hid away and to the manifestation as that city. We are that, that the glory of this great city would come after the millennium and all the nations of the world shall walk in the wisdom and understanding of it, which is called walking in the light, as he's in the light, or walking in the light of that city. But some of us will be perfect as our Father and the bride as to our husband, even having his mind and never think one thought of our own. Not us living, but the life of Christ made manifest in this mortal body. So then he's preparing a place, and where is he preparing it? Within your heart. And he's building some mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto my own, that where I am, there shall you be also. And all the allegoric types, the shadows, opening up and shadows passing away and the light's coming, that the great wonderful mind of the revelation be here, which is God. As to the word of light, spirit, power, healing, the change. So a little Bethlehem, a child is born. A government is given us upon his shoulders. And that means that God is preparing a place in your heart. And the law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom. And now you as an interspiritual being, being translated into the Spirit of Christ, you are now dwelling in heaven, and you are now an angel, and you're now without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. And the kind of church that God's coming back after is a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you preach to us perfection. For God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. Having justified, having sanctified, having glorified, justified us by faith. And the Bible said, having sanctified us by the faith which is in him, Paul, turn them to this faith by which they're sanctified. And having glorified us, as to Father, glorify them with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was, showing this as on the mount that Calvary took the law and the prophets all into one, folded up the law and laid it away, and now we're under grace. One tabernacle, even his bodily members. So, allegorically speaking, Samson pulled the pillars down. God is preparing a mansion. And what is the mansion? It is you as an individual. To eradicate, as to destroy, as to kill, as to do away with the old beast body that Satan, through you, no good thing within the flesh. No way to perform. Only a godly intertranslation of spirit as to a heavenly order having a will. And Jesus, the body, is our performance. The law gone, can't transgress it, so we can't sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. So the mansion he's preparing is your body. Your body, that is your mansion. And your inter-spiritual being, whereas angels in heaven don't have bodies, but yours body is given to you that you might relate to the earth and all the things of the earth that will be changed and be glorified, that you'll be preserved. Paul said to present you body, soul, and spirit. Just a quick thought, keep you from being confused. The world, people of the world, it goes back to the old beast way of life. And God breathed the breath of life into man, and he became a living soul. That's a soulish people, a soulish world, a soulish realm. And then there are those that are of the body that doesn't relate to the people of the world, but relate to the Jewish people who keep the body under control, that have the ritualistics for the government of the world, the right government. And all government and law comes from them, and people have perverted it, and they're going to have to answer to the Jews as the supreme head of the nation. And the Jews is going to bring judgment on them for perverting the law, just like the law brings judgment upon people for perverting their perverted law. They made their law so that it would protect them, their money, their life, their good times. They didn't intend for you to get any protection. They intended to enslave you. The rich man intended to do it. But he can't figure out how. The devil can't figure out how he can make a law to protect his interest and his people and his wealth without you getting a benefit from him. And he's always trying to twist it around and twist it around and pervert it to keep you from getting the benefit and still keep it to where he can get the benefit. And now the Lord's turning on him. And that's why all these elites are falling in the government wherever. All these great money men. Well, anyway, that mansion is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not redeem the body, then you do not have a mansion. That's where the perfection comes in as to your part of the perfection, your part of the work, what you have to do. The Lord is preparing a mansion. You are the members of that great body. And you are the mansion that he spoke of in my Father's house. For Jesus was the Father's house. And Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another house. For we have abode within the house of Adam as to members of his body and that of the old beast. But we're not beast. We were from the beginning made in his image, and that image was lost as to the fall. But we who are as the would be the ugly duckling turned out to be the swan. And as it would be within the barnyard as the chicken or born within a manger to show us what this world was, and then going from that babe in a manger to that wonderful glory between the pillars of glory standing on the mountain to show us that we don't have to die, that he took care of all of it. Behold, a mystery. It's not God's plan for death. He hates it. You're the ones that keep it in force, and we're here to do away with it. Power of all the enemy, and that's the last one to be conquered. But through Christ, we've already conquered it. Anyway, you're the mansion. You're the mansion. See, if you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory of that mansion is going to appear at his coming. And oh, how beautiful it will be. It will outshine the brightness of the noonday. And your angelic being will eternally dwell within that mansion. And that mansion will be a spiritual body, the house eternal, not made with hands. Having borne the image of the earthly as to the earthly house, it has been dissolved. And if this house be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. And the Bible said, in the heavens being on fire, and everything in the earth and even the elements shall be dissolved, melt with fervent heat. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation? So this bright light shining now, as to the coming of this bright light, is in grace. As to this knowledge, to eradicate us to the impurities of the inner man, to bring it out of the body, to work from the inner man as the heavenly treasure inwardly, to work into the outer man a little at a time, to get the filth out as you put the detergent in the clothes to get it out, allegorically speaking. See, and then after a while, the change of the body, and then the sunlight is there like the light that radiates from the confines as to these enclosures we call above, or the three things that have to do with it as to the filament, and as to the bub, see, as to the power and the surge of that that comes into that filament, the power. So then, the life of Christ being made manifest, that city is beginning to appear. It's coming down out of heaven. It's beginning to appear because as your spirit was caught away in a new birth through Christ at Calvary, even before you was ever born into the world, and even the full knowledge of God is to the image that you lost through the fall of Adam, now it has been restored as that image that was there at the foundation of the world. God made you in that image. It was lost through the fall. Jesus restored it, and then he took the image away so that Satan could not tamper with it. Set it at the right hand of the Father until he could cause you to receive the spiritual benefit on the inside, and then let this light progressively come out into your life. As to Stephen's face showing, Brother Branham's face shown, as to Moses' face shown, as to Jesus, as to Solomon said, the wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. And it's penetrating these genetics, coming out. It's on the verge of the change. And with this coming out, not as to the love of the world, but as to Christ, it's almost ready for that instant change as to the body. It's coming to surface now. As the world would say, in the river we fish a thing out. So it's coming to surface. And with this, your mansion will appear. Your mansion will appear. And the dead will be turned loose from the graves, because the death has no more power. And as quick as we move the infiltration as to the eradication, to move the thing out of our body, whereas Paul said, within this old beast body that dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present as to the inner spiritual, blessing the heavenly treasure, but how to perform that which is good in the body I can't find. For there's always a continual warfare. So that's got the body, the Satan's of the world, got control of this thing through the human senses, relates to the earth. From the dust, it's calling it back to the dust. See an allegoric thing of that which goes to heaven, that which stays down as to the astronauts. But anyway, as to this life coming forth, once it breaks through us, the impurities are gone. And that's it. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then which are alive and remain shall be changed. For if we perfect it inwardly, once it's perfected, that means that the dead is then redeemed. And with the redemption of the dead, that is the change. For when they come, we change. It's all one instantaneous thing. Once it is finished, as to the course on the inside, as to the diplomacy, as to the child being born, that's the moment. The child is matured. The child is thus born. So you have to do something with the spirit of holiness. As to your body, it's time that you awake. When they awoke, they saw his glory. And as you go through this thing, as to perfect holiness in your life, in your body, charity thinketh no evil. The royal crown is ready to be given, as I saw in the vision. But no one can have it but that which is charity. And that is the bond of perfectness. And who will perfect? How does Christ build the mansions? From the minister. The minister, as he furbishes and refurbishes, a little understanding at a time, and you are changed from glory to glory on the inside, and you're called to glory and to virtue. And to virtue begins to show and purify. And the minister set there for the perfecting of the saints, to bring you the knowledge of God, the faith of that knowledge, and to a perfect understanding of the mind of the Lord Jesus, to a charitable bond of perfectness, to be therefore perfect, to go on to perfection, and to, because you are the perfect body, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you stop, that is your measure. Wherever you stop, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, children, feminine, masculine. And we could say a lot about that, as to Satan not being able to get into the sons of God in the garden. We had something about that on tape. But anyway, this is what I'm saying. We're here working with you, doing whatever we can, patiently, travailing till Christ be formed within you. And after that, that's it. It'll make the change. So, let's stand together, think on these things. Many things I'd like to say, God would like to say to us. But evidently, there's been enough things said from time to time and put on tape that it makes you to know that you that will not conform to what I'm telling you, man or woman, you are the enemy of God, and you are resisting God. And if you're trying to start a new style, I think I've been in the world long enough to know that God doesn't need any help in his styles. You know, some of the ministers come in to these things, and they're young and flirty, and they're full of zip, and they feel like that they need to bring the people from across the tracks. It's like the old Roberts minister. put them on the other side, and God allegorically lets them do that because spiritually that's what he's already done through Christ, and hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent to reveal it at his time. But right now he's humbling himself to make sure his friend and people that receive him is in a state of poverty as a babe in a manger. Then when he moves the veil, they'll be with him in his kingship and his glory. Father, these that have been with me in my travail and in my shame, he said, let them be with me when I'm in my glory, that they might behold my glory, to be part of my glory. You got riches, you don't humble yourself, you got a lot of friends. Goods increase, they that eat them increase. So, God doesn't need any help. The common people heard him gladly. He wants his people to stay common. He's not looking for the elite. He's not trying to be that which is preeminent and that which is among the celebrities, so that he can get the admiration of the world and draw the world and to be rich and fabulous. He could make his people rich overnight. He could pour out heaven on them. You don't have to work out there to struggle to get somebody's attention. Like a woman down in Del Rio, Texas, her husband struggled to become a businessman that he might be with the elite. Very religious man, charismatic. I became his friend, talked with him, preached to him, told him what was going to happen to him, and it happened to him. My wife witnessed to his wife over and over, said, why do you put lipstick on him, this kind of thing, knowing that you know some great things as to religion? She said, well, I put on a little bit so that I can catch the attention of the doctor's wife and the upper echelon as to those people. And that way they will relate to us. And she did. She caught their attention. And sure enough, they did relate to him. Because two walks together when they agreed, and she had agreed with the devil, so they all was just one bunch of tares. And she compromised, lost out. See, God doesn't want them. Why draw their attention? They don't have salvation. The Bible says not many mighty are called. He could have called them if he wanted them. He put them over there. He gave them the land of Esau because that's all they'll ever have. See, this is the heavenly world. You can't receive this unless it's given to you from God. You've got to come into this mind of virtue and purity, and you've got to change this body as to these things that we're saying. And everybody isn't going to change. Everybody isn't going to come into this. It's a little flock. Few there be that find it, and the change is getting close at hand. So whatever you do, listen to the pastor. If I'm not a pastor, if I'm not telling you the truth, if these things ain't real, if you can just pick them up anywhere as to what I'm saying, then that means they're not real. If you can just get them anywhere, go get them, because they're not real anyway. Join the crowd. But if it is something that God's withheld, and if it is something that he has given us to the chosen, when he said that I'll give you the hidden manna if you overcome, and if it is that when they said you need something to eat, said, I have manna to eat that you know not of. Mine is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work, he that sent me. And if it is the right thing, that he that overcometh, I will give him my new name, and he shall rule over the nations. Then let's hold fast to it. Let's perfect wholeness unto the Lord and the fear of the Lord. And let's get the body under control. For there is a bodily people. There is a soulish people, and we are the quickening spirit people. We are the spiritual people. Jesus was made a quickening spirit. He went through the realms. He was the body among the Jews. He went into hell, the soulish realm, which is from Calvary over to the church coming forth, which is in our day, which had to do with the Protestant or the Catholic people. Protestants is only a type coming out of the Catholic people, not really the spiritual people, because the real spirit comes out of them. But anyway, that's a dimensional step down. It would take a long time to go into that because it's a great mystery. But anyway, you're the spiritual people, and now it's come here at the end time. It's come. Let's sing a little chorus together, Brother Taylor. I did not mean to take so long this morning. I don't think I took that long. I know you've been in service a long time, but considering the time of Cain, I don't think I took that long. I forgive you. Somebody said, well, it's immaterial me is whether you forgive me or not. Well, That's all right. You know, your feelings is your feeling. But to my children, to the children of God, I forgive you. As to those that are going to do their own thing, you're not forgiven, only momentarily, as to the blood being on the seat of atonement, as to an allowance. And the child that comes over to a person's home with their children that doesn't belong to them, a man will tolerate their mannerism and just scold them and correct them just like a preacher preaching. But really, at night, they go their way. The children stay at home because they get a correction that's different as to a chastisement. And they conform to the mind of the man that's the head of the house. But as the children of God, I forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have the power to do that. Whosoever sins we remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins we retain shall be retained. And I feel your spirit draw up. Well, I don't think you have that right. To you, I speak as from one, I speak to all. But as to you, the very fact that you think like that proves you're not my children. Your sins aren't forgiven. And you're not my children. I'm speaking to my children. Let's sing this little chorus together. Let's sing I Love Him, friend. I love Him. Can you sing it with me? I love Him all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again, I love Him. I love Him all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Let's sing this little chorus. The altars are open. If you'd like to come. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the heartaches, sorrows that befall. I can hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be one. Let's sing this chorus. That the lights of home I see, do I feel a breeze from the crystal with the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? If that's the lights of home, it's a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing it with me now, with harps of gold and thousand strings. Earth holds no charm. home, sweet home, that the lights are home, I say. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, if that's the lights on, it's a welcome sight to me. Sing it more time. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah Land, it's my home, sweet home. I wonder, you know, when we sing these songs, if that's the lights of home. I wonder if any of us are really seeing the lights of home. They sing a song, I can almost see the lights of that city. And I wonder if any of us are beginning to see the light. The Bible says, if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. Now, isn't it something that here I am a pastor? I preach to you for many years. I talk to you about the wonderful things of God. And then I look at you, and out of you, as I see, you get something. You have to get something to be condemned. You have to get something. Out of every ministry, twins are born. And you get something. But you don't get the light. You reflect the light. But you don't get the light. Neither do you get the revelation. Neither do you understand. For the Bible said the wicked shall not understand. Though they reflect the light and they feel that they understand. But they don't. When they get out of the light, they find out their world is the same. Their desire is the same. Their jubilance is still in the things of the world. And the only rejoicing that they have is over the fact that they've been to church and they feel that they're numbered with the saints of God and that they're on their way to heaven, and that gives them a reflection as to a consolation. But as to have salvation, as to have a mind of God, to have a holy heart, as to have holiness in the body, to have holy eyes, to desire righteousness, they have not any of that. And even in the services, I can see them as they... their minds wander around, their heads wander around looking, and when you're talking. And it's very pitiful. Very pitiful, because you know that they did not get it. You know that they don't have it. And you know that they've been through service after service. And in that they did not get it, and service after service, you know there's something wrong with them. And the same ones, you can go back and check their lives out. And you'll find out they're adulterers in their past. Even during the time they're here, they're adulterers. They've committed evils and wrongs and practiced it, and they're still in that same kind of condition. And they're worldly, and they've gone after the world, and their desire is after the world. Prestige and money and all these kind of things. And they have no desire to be around the sisters, as to help, work, to do anything with the sisters. They have no desire to live a holy life or to be with the saints of God, as to help, to labor, to come, to work, to share, to give. They have no interest. Why? Because they don't belong to you. That's why many of them go out from you. And the Bible says if they'd have been of you, they no doubt would have continued with you. But they went out from you that it might be made manifest they were not of you. And that's why they left you. And even though they come back from time to time, and even though they live off in the distance somewhere, or they live close by, even on the campground, But they're not of you, brothers and sisters. They're not of you. They don't have that interest. They know that I'm telling the truth, and they know it, because they know who they are, and they know what their interest is. But just like Judas, they number themselves with you, wanting to go to heaven because they see it's so beautiful, so beautiful. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all, as it was said through the little fable. Jesus always given things from the childhood to program the heart. It was the old bewitching one, as Paul said, who hath bewitched you. It was always the old bewitching one with the pretty frocks, the chains around the neck and the bracelets and the rings and the money and the prestige and always, you know, fixing the face and the body and always the mind on the gullible desires of the things of the world, relating to the world, admired by the world, finding a place with the world because the world loves its own. Their thoughts continue in the world. But then one day it was said, as to the old bewitching hour, it was gone. And as to the mirror of life, Paul said, as one that looketh into a mirror and then goeth their way and straightway forgetteth what manner of person that they are. And in this, they're lost. But looking into the mirror of life, coming to this as to the reflection, to be able to see for a, it's called a vanity as to a mirror because it's the light that's reflected. Turn on the light and there the image is. Turn off the light and there is no image. So while the grace is there, there's an image. You can see it. See, tasting of the heavenly gift. Partakers of the Holy Ghost and the good things of God, the power of the world to come. But when the light goes out, there won't be any place to come and won't be any reflection. You won't see any more godliness as to the image. Bunch of freaks. Let's just lift our hands together. Close our eyes. I love you. I'd like to help you. Jesus looked at Judas. Said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? That Judas' hour is here. And then he looked at the rich young ruler, who said in his words, his own words, I am very religious, he said. I believe in keeping the commandments. He said, what do I have to do to enter into life? Young, rich man. Jesus said, well, if you would enter into life, as this kingdom is preached, to be translated into this, he said to a man one time when he answered him discreetly, thou art not far from the kingdom. And that is, has to do with the mind, faith, the spirit. He said, if you'd enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, this I do. I've done this all my life, he said. Jesus said, yet likest thou one thing. This was before Jesus died for remission of sin to take away everything as pertaining to the law, whatever that is to fulfill it in our behalf. We're still there to be kept. He said, yet likest thou one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he said, with this, take up your cross, because it's for sure when you get rid of all you've got, you're going to have a cross. Some of you will never have a cross because you're too shrewd. You're going to make sure that you already have a lot of money in the bank or a something on the side to where you can have comforts and convenience. I remember so well when I said, Betty, we're going to leave everything we got, our own little home that we had as a real young boy and girl. I said, we're going to leave our little piece of ground. We're going to give it up. And we're going to wait for God, which we did. And when we come back to it, months later, the Lord wouldn't let us stay in it. We had to go again. We gave it up. And I remember when we was in the little old trailer that we had, down in a strange state among strange people, nothing to eat, nothing to keep us warm, one little tiny tank that we kept kerosene in for heat. And we were sitting there. I said, Betty, we're trying to prove faith. I said, it's cold, icy, no way to get heat, no nothing. And we had our little children. And I said, we're going to prove God. What little money we did have, I said, we're going to give every bit of it away. We had just a little kerosene and a heater. I said, we're going to give every bit of it away to help someone because God is real, Betty, and he'll do what he said. And we're going to move everything out of the way of faith. not to lean on the arm of flesh. I said, and God's going to take care of us. And sure enough, we did it. Gave it away, and there we sit without anything. And the cold was ready to move in. The problems. But we did it anyway. And the Lord was so gracious. Said this before, having needed an automobile for a long time, that the man knew nothing about what we did, but a retired builder, a very outstanding, prestigious man of the community that belonged to a denominational church that had nothing to do with what you refer to as your kind of church. He come and knocked on my door and said, God spoke to me and told me to buy you a car, and bought me a beautiful coupe, nice, new like coupe, beautiful. Said, I want you to go pick it out. And he took me, paid cash for it. The Lord started the flow of finance, blessed us, and we abounded and had a good time in the Lord. Our faith, the same yesterday, today, and forever in Christ Jesus. It's still the same today. It's taken us around the world. That's why the Lord lets you hit the rough spots. But some of you won't have that. If things get tight, the wife gets all over the husband. The husband gets all out of sauce. Everything goes wrong. God's trying to perfect their faith. And as long as that man keeps that money flowing, she'll hug and kiss on him, and he's her honey. And just as quick as her honey is gone, she's got her another honey. And she's doing all kinds of things. And if he watches real close, he'll come in and he'll be ready to blow his brains out in hers, and sometimes does. Because his heart's torn up. And a lot of times, he's got it coming because he's had him two or three honeys. And he comes in real pious like when he knows he's as wretched as he can be. Ain't it strange how the Lord will just make known what you are? We like for the world to think we're one thing, but God knows what we are. And the Bible said there's nothing done in the dark that won't be brought to the light. It don't matter how much you say you fast and pray. How much you read, how long you've been in religion, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Everything that's done in the dark, which means the things that you do in your carnal mind, that's called darkness. You intellectually think or intellectually do. God said he's going to move the shadows and it's going to show. And the light's going to show it all up as to what it is. As long as the shadows, you can't tell too much about it. Be a little distorted and perverted and all of it looks alike. But when the light comes, the thoroughness as to the detail of each image is shown. And then you know what's perverted and what's not perverted. Well, anyway, God blessed us. And that same faith is in our heart today. It's in our heart today. Let's just sing together. Lift our hands and close our eyes. We're not going to hold you any longer. And I will praise my Lord. I will pray. You know, that's what the minister's for, is to show us how wretched we are. And then we call on him and we feel his blessings and his grace. And then we praise the Lord. Before then, we're so religiously good that Jesus said, away, thou more holy than me. But when we see how wretched we are, blind, naked, wretched, he said, this last generation. Then we call on him and we praise him. We have a reason to praise him. And then he comes near us once again. We start repenting. How wonderful it is to move self-esteem, to look at your brother, to admire the body of Christ that's around you. Having pure eyes and a holy heart, learning to praise him, learning to love him. The vision I had last night of the man that was crying, hollering, I'm burning, move the flames. Get me out of the flames. Somebody help me. Come to me. Move the flames. I'm burning. Flame. Let us give him glory, all ye people. false blood that's washed away. Christine, just once more together. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I'm going to ask Roger to come and dismiss us if he will. The Lamb for sinners and I'll give Him glory all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Just one more time together, let's love Him. Examine yourself, see if you be in the faith now. Many shall depart from the word, which is the faith, cometh by the hearing. Doctrines of devils, conscience seared with a hot iron. Die with